You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that, of course, is a little bit obscene. That's the point!
Wait, Lee, you actually remind me of Francis.
Oh no!
In
what
a good
do I do with that?
It's what the glass. It's really just the glasses. It's the aesthetic.
It's fine.
I love it's Francis. Fine. It's a good, it's a compliment.
I like love and hate Francis sometimes. It depends on the scene in the movie, honestly.
Yeah.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes-Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. And here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We want to remind you all to fill out our Trova Trip survey at bit.ly/lestrip to tell us where you want to go on vacation with me and Lee next year and a bunch of other listeners. It's going to be so much fun.
We also want to remind you that we are now in season 6, releasing Patreon-only bonus episodes about movies that we just don't really have time to get to otherwise on the podcast. So if you want to hear those, we have 2 of them that are out already, and our next episode is going to be coming out on October 17th. If you want to hear all of our thoughts about Grey Matters, and we know you do, you're going to want to join our Patreon. You can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
We are also reviving our trivia. We are so excited. We have
so
really
excited.
Missed it. And we're getting back on track. We had a lot to do to plan for the flame, but we are back and ready to do our events. So on October 27th, we're going to be hosting First Kill Trivia. Very spooky, very vampy. It's going to be virtual on Zoom, so you can join from anywhere at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will see you there. You can check out our Eventbrite to get tickets for that. In the Greater Les universe, I know we had mentioned Reboot in a previous episode, and I hadn't watched it yet, but I did start watching it, and I can confirm, holy, it is very gay. Like, surprisingly.
Wait, is that the
gay.
Show?
Yeah. Reboot is a new
okay.
show on...
I haven't watched it yet. Is it actually gay? Oh, now I'm going to have to add it to my
new
list.
Show on,
okay.
New show on Hulu. I don't really want to spoil the gay, because, like, it really, like, was a really cool, fun reveal. But I was like, okay, people say it's gay, so let me check it out. And I was like, me and Jana were like in bed, like grabbing each other, like, wait, they just went here. So it was really fun. And I can confirm it is quite gay. So
incredible. Other things that are gay. Finally. Velma from Scooby-Doo. So there is a new Scooby-Doo out called Trick or Treat Scooby-Doo. And I think my favorite description is I saw someone who basically said it's like Scooby-Doo Debs
yeah
kind
Which
of vibes
for.
Yeah, so like Velma falls for the hot villain, and then the hot villain falls for Velma and saves the day. And I haven't watched it yet. I know Kristen, our production assistant, has watched it, I think, more than once already. And I've heard nothing but good things. But listen, it is 2022, and that is how long it took us to get a canon gay Velma, which we've all known.
We've been waiting
for forever.
Also, Lee, I feel like maybe this is the right time for us to finally do that. Scooby-Doo should have been gay.
Yes. I thought you were going to say cosplay, but I'm here for both of them. Let's also cosplay.
But yes, we could also cosplay. So you're Velma, I'm Daphne. Is that what we're going for?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect, perfect.
For sure.
Also, Hocus Pocus 2 just came out. Lee, have you seen it?
I haven't yet. I know. I have to. I know it's everyone.
Okay. It's okay. So I did watch it. I will say, fun, silly. If you like the original, like, I laughed. I enjoyed it. It's not the original. It's never going to be as good as the original. That's fine. But I still very much enjoyed it. I thought that the main trio of witches still brought the gags, brought the laughs. But I also will say, we have to do another Should Have Been Gay on it.
Great.
Because they still have not made Hocus Pocus gay.
No, so, even though the book was gay,
yep,
right?
Even though the sequel book was gay, they focus on like sisterhood and the power of female friendship, but like they don't go there. They do not go there.
Disappointing.
Very disappointing.
But not for you listeners, because that means another Should Have Been Gay headed your way.
Another Should Have Been Gay. Get ready for that. So that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 4 of season 6, our next installment in our first season 6 Lessentials.
Lessentials is a recurring segment on the show where we dive into classic lesbian movies or shows.
And as a reminder, we are writing and recording original songs for every Lessentials movie or show that we do these days. So stick around to the end of the episode to hear our song for Better Than Chocolate. You're not going to want to miss it.
And like Lee said, for this Lessentials, we are talking about the 1999 classic Better Than Chocolate, starring Karen Dwyer and Christina Cox, written by Peggy Thompson and directed by Ann Wheeler.
We're going back. We're in like the way back machine this time, right? Like, I feel like we need that Hamilton, like, rewind.
Yeah.
That's flashback. How we're going to party like it's 1999.
Yes.
Come on.
And this movie is very 1999. We'll get into it.
Oh my God.
Let's read our IMDb synopsis. What is this movie about?
Okay. For anyone who's not familiar with Better Than Chocolate, don't worry, because we're going to give you a detailed breakdown, I'm sure. Here's the IMDb synopsis. Maggie, 19, works at a lesbian/LGBT bookstore. Her mom's getting divorced and has invited herself to stay with Maggie. Maggie hasn't told her she's lesbian. I am reading that verbatim as it is written in the thing. Okay. She's lesbian. Yeah. Her new girlfriend moves in as well.
Also,
end of
like,
synopsis.
Oh my God. What a first grader watched the movie. Like her new girlfriend moves in as well.
As well.
As well. I mean, pretty accurate IMDb synopsis. Lee, had you seen this movie before?
I hadn't.
I'm a
bad gay.
No,
I'm a terrible gay.
I hadn't either, and it's been on our list.
We're bad gays.
It's been on our list for a while, and I feel like this season, we were just like, let's do a throwback, right? We've been doing a lot of newer stuff, and we watched the trailer for this, and was like, okay, like, this seems, for me, the indicator that we should watch it is, like, the trailer was super gay. And so I was like, okay, this is something that we can watch, right? It's like Judy singing at the club, mm-hmm. like Maggie and Kim, like half naked on the couch, like, oh, Bob walked in
on
us.
Yeah, the trailer goes into a lot of their sex scenes.
Yes, a lot of, and it did have a lot of good sex scenes.
Yes.
So after your first watch, what are your thoughts on this, on the film? Just like general overview before we dive into plot by plot.
Okay, here are my thoughts. I really liked it. And
yep.
And at the same time, it's very 1999 and it's like it's a little hate crimey.
Yep.
It's a little like it goes less far than I want it to in the ultimate, like, acceptance pathway. There are certain things where, like, I love and I hate, you know? Like, I feel like when we talk about, like, in more detail, we'll get into some of the places where I'm like, yeah, and then other places where I'm like, meh.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, that's a byproduct of the 1999-ness
of this film. Oh, for sure, for sure.
Because I agree. I pretty much have very similar thoughts to you where, actually, like, I loved it up until the middle.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I felt like the first half, I was, like, yeah, really,
solid.
Like, I was,
solid
like,
through
okay.
the first half.
Like, the first half, which we'll talk about. But I feel like the first half has, like, lots of lesbian sex scenes, lots of boobs, lots of like, we're at a gay yeah. bar, and, like, we're doing drag, and, like, we're lip singing, and, like.
It's for sure from the hate crime on for me. I was a little, like, yeah. Less into it.
That's but. Definitely, like, the skinheads in the film I could have definitely done without.
Yes. Well, and, the skinheads, yeah. and for me, it's like the Judy in the bathroom scene. Like that's where kind of the movie took a turn for me. But yes. overall, I mean, like I understand when we do classics, like we're gonna like I do think this should count as a essential because
yes.
it is like this movie I think is a quintessential iconic classic gay film, especially for lesbians. Like it has been around for a long time. It is hard for us to do it now. Like we're not here to review it. Really,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
because it, like you take it out of the context and like, of course, it's not going to hold up to like our standards today. And it doesn't. But I also do think that it's like as a, you know, historical
I think
artifact.
I think it is worth watching is
yeah,
the point. Like
yeah.
as a lesbian woman, I enjoyed watching this movie and like knowing that this is now a part of my like lesbian media.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Journey.
I'm glad I watched it. Like, yeah. I feel like it's been out there for a long time. And I think it's hard for me because some of, like, you know, like, we've watched and there are some movies of a similar era that to me are like, oh my God, I've seen this movie so many times. It's a classic. I mm-hmm. love it. No, forwards and backwards. And then some of the ones that I haven't done that with yet, it's harder to go back to them because when you don't have the nostalgia factor of like, well, yeah, but I watched it in 2003, you
love,
know?
Yeah, but I loved
and
this
I've
movie
always
when I was
loved
in
it.
College.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I always know this is what I'm going to get into. And it is. We're always right, right? Like, we're
yep.
always right. You're going to go back and you're going to be like, yay, oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no.
yep.
Oh, yay, oh, no. right? Like, you know what you're signing up for. And so I'm like, these days, like, there are new movies that I'm like, oh, I don't have that piece.
Yeah.
And so we, like, gravitate towards a lot of these
yeah.
newer stuff. But
I will say, like, I think what it brings in the, oh, it does make up for in the chemistry of our two leads and
yeah.
the, like, there's, like, an unapologetic sexuality in Better Than Chocolate that some newer movies don't
shy away
have.
From.
Like,
yeah.
still shy
no,
away
No, I agree.
From,
I agree.
Because they're trying to be more mainstream. like, this was not trying to be mainstream. And so
no.
I feel like it's, like, very feels
Listen, well,
gay.
we can talk about
yeah.
some of the sex scenes more when we get there.
Yeah.
But I agree. I have thoughts. thoughts and questions. But let's hold those questions for now. And let's do a quick recap overview walkthrough
Let's
of the film for anyone who's not familiar or for anyone who doesn't want to dive back in. And maybe I will preface with if you have not watched this movie and you are uncomfortable with like pretty like explosive attacks on mm-hmm. like a lesbian character or trans women, like I will say, I mean, like I would not judge anyone for not wanting to
yes
sit through this. So I guess that's our warning in advance, either for part of our discussions or if you haven't watched the movie yet, to know that going in, that when we talk about that, it is like, I mean, it's not, nothing goes super bad. Like, no one dies. no one's getting killed.
But
I mean, I feel like that's a sad thing to have to be like, it's not that bad.
Yeah, but
just a light hate criming. But like, yeah, it is. That is the there are those things that happen in the movie. And I think, you know,
it's important to
worth
more.
Knowing
yeah.
about. OK, so we open with some hate crime.
oh, my God.
we open with, well, that's not true. We open with some little like you know, cabaret loungy lip syncing performance.
Yes, at the gay bar called The Cat's Ass.
The Cat's Ass.
Great.
Yeah, why not? And then we get some light hate criming from some skinheads, but just verbal hate criming this time, which, you know, in the grand scheme of where we're going to go, it's not so bad.
Yep.
It's so funny because I love that they have this establishing shot where it's like, oh, it's, you know, Maggie's walking down the street because she was just lip syncing at the Cat's Ass
in
and the skinheads are harassing her. And Kim drives up with her car and like scares away the skinheads in her van. And they have this little moment. And then they never reference it again, right? Like,
yeah. But I feel like it's also, I was also going to say, like, it's like hate crime meet cute. Like, the hate crime facilitates a meet cute.
Everyone loves a hate crime meet cute. Who doesn't?
Oh, God.
Hate crime meet cute, new band name.
Yeah.
Called it.
Bad. But I feel like they subtly.
We could make shirts that say hate crime meet cute. And,
yes.
Like, honestly, it does really roll right off the tongue. It has a je ne sais quoi, yeah. You know?
But I feel like they, like, reference it with their eyes maybe later. I don't know. I thought they...
But they don't ever reference it explicitly.
Yeah.
And
they
I
don't
just think
say,
it's
like, oh, thanks for saving me.
Yeah. That's what I was waiting for when she's drawing her later. I was waiting for, like, a thanks for saving me the other night. No.
Well, she says, like, oh, like, I really like your van. And I took that to be, like, your van saved. I don't know. It's, like, very subtle, but...
It was subtle, I agree.
Too
I just
subtle.
Think it's funny that they have this whole scene and then it never comes up again. Because
yes.
It seemed like the kind of scene that was going to come up, right? Like,
yes.
Oh, wasn't that you at the other night? No, nothing.
No, okay. Nothing.
So after our hate crime meet cute.
Horrible.
We meet Maggie. Maggie is living at the bookstore. She dropped out of college. She's gay. Hasn't told her mom yet. Her mom calls up and is like, oh, how's everything going? And Maggie's like, great, got a big old apartment that I'm living in and it's great and big and so big and great. And then her mom's like, fantastic, I'm getting divorced and your brother and I are moving in. See you soon, bye.
Also, like, just this mom moving in with her 19-year-old daughter. Like,
oh my God.
The premise of it at all is like, oh my God.
Is insane.
Rough.
Vaguely insane. So, yeah, so Maggie's got to find an apartment. She finds a place to sublet. It is owned by a safe sex educator and is therefore chock-a-block full of dildos. Everywhere you look,
so
a dildo.
Many.
Just,
so
what is
many.
This? Is it a mug for my coffee? No, it's a dildo.
No, it's a dildo.
Do you own plates? No, my cupboards are full of dildos.
No. Is this toothpaste? No, it's a dildo.
It's a dildo. It's okay. You can just, because your toothbrush is also a dildo. So
yeah,
it's fine.
So it works. It all works.
Just a weird warehouse full of dildos is where Maggie's moving in.
To house her mother.
And her 17-year-old brother, neither of whom know she's gay. What could go wrong?
Nothing.
This movie dares to ask.
Also, it's. I would also like to say that...
I'm like so already crying laughing. I can't.
So she moves into this place, right? And she meets Kim. Or she meets her, I guess, in the meet cute. But like actually meets her and they have that painting scene.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you getting to that right now?
Yes. That's the next scene.
So they have the painting scene, right? And... she's like, and then she paints her, they go for coffee, and she's like, my mom's moving in tomorrow. It's Thursday, her mom moves in on Friday, and Kim also moves in on Friday, the day after they have met. It's incredible.
It's just, listen, there's so much, like, the stereotypes being covered in some of these intro scenes. Wild. Because, like, I mean, listen, I was going to gloss over Carla, but maybe I shouldn't gloss over
Carla.
You know
we need to talk about Carla.
I mean, listen, some of you may have heard in our, if you're a Patreon and you heard our Kissing Jessica Stein bonus Patreon episode, you'll know that we went off a little bit on the representation of bisexuals in, like, the late 90s, early aughts cinema landscape. And, like, oh my God, Carla like, hits the ground running. In the same way. It's just...
it's rough. So she... her character, right? Her whole character is she hits on Maggie and she's basically like, lesbians never want to date me because I'm bisexual.
Then Maggie gives a dig to her about how she's omnisexual. Because she wants to sleep with everything and anything that breathes. And then to fast forward to our end for Carla, like just to give an arc of Carla, then she basically seduces a 17-year-old boy, her brother, which was very uncomfortable for me to watch.
This, I mean, I feel like we gave the hate crime warning. We should also give the, like, definitely, like, graphic, this, you're having sex with a minor in public on a bench. Like, what?
Yeah,
it's not great. Again, it's like, there's, you know, sometimes you go back, like, we go back and watch a lot of older movies, and there are certain things sometimes where I'm like, listen, I understand that, like, there's stuff now where we're like, oh, wow, like, we have since learned, like, how insensitive some of our language was and society was, and, like, grown a little bit more aware and self-reflective and sure. And then there's other things where you're just like, were we literally all running around watching movies of people having, like, just having sex with minors? Like,
yep.
And no one was gonna, just no one thought that was fine. That was okay. Yep. And there's no reason for it. You could make him 18. He could be 18 and still be in high school.
He never go, and also he never went to high school.
No.
He also could have been her 18-year-old brother. Like, I don't even know.
Yes.
Like,
alternatively, you could have just not had him fuck Carla. Like, it adds nothing to the plot whatsoever. It's basically just there. Okay, listen. We'll get to that scene and we'll talk about how fucking weird it is. But, like, Carla's whole story arc in this.
They did Carla dirty. And they really, like, pigeonholed Carla as this, like, predatory... Yeah. Like, bisexual,
do bisexuals dirty, just in a general sense.
Not good.
So, yeah, so Carla, okay. Then we do have the, like, drawing meet cute round two of, like, oh, you're so pretty and have beautiful eyes and I'm drawing you and it's great. And then we're getting coffee and we're on a coffee date and Tony's being a little bit homophobic, but it's okay because we're, like, so into each other on this coffee date.
No kissing in the cafe.
Look, Tony, he's just a little bit homophobic, fuck.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine, but it's also, like, is it just me, or is it, like, is this movie supposed to be set somewhere specific where, like, regionally they just use the word fuck weirdly?
Yes. I mean, it's in Canada somewhere. So I feel like some of the ways they speak are just Canadian, and we, Canadian 90s.
Is that just, like, a Canadian thing, fuck? Like, I don't get it. It was weird to me every time, and it, like, every time it kept happening, I kept being like, what world am I in? What universe is this?
You're in the world of Canada.
Canada, fuck. Got it. I just didn't know.
Sorry.
Who knew? Sorry, Canada. I didn't know. So they have, like, they go on their little coffee date, and then they go... Then we have the first of a few in this movie, which, like, again... So it's not just that it's, like, quintessential 90s. It's, like, such a specific type of 90s movie to have the high speed montage.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It makes me feel right at home.
It's like, and I hate them, but also I am nostalgic about those in a weird way.
And to have a, like, basically, like, lesbian sex scene speed up. Scene, but, like, you're just speeding up the van outside.
Yes.
And they're slow inside. I liked it.
It, like, created a weird, like, contrast that I was, like, kind of into, and then also kind of like, how do you get towed while you're inside boning?
I mean, like, it's a huge van. Like, it doesn't really have windows. Like, you have no, they have no clue who's in there.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
They were pretty loud throughout the entire film, though. So, like, that was a recurring theme. So, who knows?
Listen, maybe we can use this as our opportunity for our first one of these. Because, honestly, like, listen, I will give them, like, they're not bad sex scenes. Well filmed, well acted, into it, realistic, totally here for it. But, oh my God, I want to know the studio sessions they must have had to ADR the moaning after the fact. Because, like, I'm sorry, but, like, all of that can have been done in while they were shooting. Because some of them, it's like, you know, you have the, like, it's, like, out of sync with the time running of the film. And so, I, like, those moans were, like, a little much.
They were a lot.
They're, like, they were a lot. But I went from a little much to a lot real fast, and that's because they were.
But you know what? I honestly liked it.
I mean, I'm not against it. I'm just surprised is all.
I feel like they were like, we're going to give you
lots of realistic,
yeah,
lesbian sex scenes, like more realistic than some of the shit we've seen lately.
Yes,
is all I'm gonna say.
Because,
like, yeah,
because the moans, I feel like, stand out specifically as the thing that you don't always get. Like, even sometimes when you have a great sex scene,
oh, it's just dead
very
quiet.
Well, and it's very dead quiet, or quiet. It's just, or it's music, right? All yeah, you yeah. get is the music. And these, they were like, fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. We don't have a music budget. We are just going to, like, here's their it's just
get in a booth, keep moaning. Yeah. We'll put them in where we need them.
Actually, if you could just have sex in the booth, that'd be ideal.
Actually,
we'll just use that. Perfect. Great. We'll just, like, splice them in as we need them. But, like, every sex scene that they had, the moaning is, like, off the hook. It is, like, out of control.
Yeah.
Like, just, and I love, because I watch everything with subtitles, as I'm sure many of us do, and it's just, like, every single time, it's just like
moaning,
groaning, moaning, moans, moaning. Groaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when they're in the bathroom later, holy shit, dude. I was like, I'm sorry, but you're expecting me to believe that the whole line up to the bathroom is just sitting there and all you can hear is them in the bathroom just being like, ugh, and you're like, whoa, dude.
To be fair.
Chill the fuck out. Yes. Like, you're in a public bathroom. Like, nobody would be doing that. Come on.
I love that scene. No, okay. People would do that, Lee.
I would. Who am I kidding? But still, but it was just like, it was a little much.
It was a lot, but
maybe
I also
it's not
like,
that nobody would be doing that. It's that if you were doing that in the bathroom, like the people waiting right,
like,
outside the stall.
Someone might be pissed.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would
yeah.
be like a little bit more up in your business.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
all.
Yeah. Someone would have knocked on the door being like, can you speed it up? But yeah. I loved that everyone in that line.
Everyone,
like,
was so polite.
Was like,
waiting.
You get it. Go for yeah. it. Good job, girls.
Yeah. Woo.
Yeah. Like, their cheering section.
Insane. Oh, good Lord. Okay. So anyway, so Kim's van gets towed, which means, of course, what does any good, self-respecting 19-year-old lesbian do?
Move in.
You move it together.
That's it.
They not only move in, they're like, is it love? It must be love.
They literally say that the first day, night.
Yes, ladies, you met this morning at coffee.
But it must be love because I'm sleeping on this couch with you, with your mom.
It must be love because, like, we just had an orgasm and, like, at 19, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, to be fair, you're not wrong. Accurate. Accurate lesbian representation.
Very accurate 19-year-old lesbian representation. Also,
so,
like,
real.
Of course they're 19 because, like, they literally don't give a fuck.
No.
They are having sex in the living room on
yeah.
the couch with
yeah.
her brother down the hall and her mom
yeah.
in the room right near
oh my
them.
God.
And they just keep being like, shh, shh. Like,
but
just,
it's so true.
It's so
though.
Loud. Yeah, yeah. It's so.
It's so true.
Are you going to tell a story, Lee? I felt like a story was coming, but it's very accurate.
I'll tell
so,
you. I'll tell
yeah,
you,
you
the stories later. Really.
You can tell me
but
there.
It's just, let's be real. We've all been 19. You're dumb fucks, and that's
yep.
what you do. That's
yep.
what you would do. You would absolutely, like, sublet an apartment, move in with your girlfriend that afternoon, paint each other.
Oh my god, the painting.
Paint
scene.
Each other's bodies and roll around on some tarps. Have sex in the shower afterwards, mm-hmm. and then freak the fuck out when your mom and your brother move in until you have sex also, like,
that
again
night,
that night gosh,
yeah.
while your brother is in the hallway. Like,
yeah.
that is...
It's very accurate.
It's so
The
real.
Painting scene really got me.
Just a lot of moaning again. Again, 80-yard after the fact moaning of it's like, oh, she's scratching, like, the backs of my thighs, and I'm just moaning, and
yep.
you're like, whoa, dude.
Painting your butt.
Here we go.
Like, lots of really good boob shots, which I was
yeah, great boob
shots.
Listen, they've got fantastic body. I'm not going to hold their,
yes,
that against them.
Yes.
Like, why not? Why wouldn't you film that scene? If you looked like that, yeah.
Honestly.
Film that scene, fuck. Yeah,
full
do it.
Frontal nudity.
Yeah. I was,
like,
into it.
Really good.
It's good.
All these sex
it's
scenes
a great scene.
An A++++ from me. That's
yeah.
all I'll say. If you do nothing else, if you don't actually watch this entire film,
go back,
like,
and watch the
sex
scenes.
Scenes.
They're great. Yeah,
they're
sex
good.
Scenes and the painting scene, they're great. Great
yes.
scenes. Just, there's a smiley face on her ass.
I know, good. The smiley face cracked me up.
Yeah, that's all good.
And they keep the paintings hung up, so when her mom comes, she's like, oh, beautiful paintings.
Cool.
These are
yeah.
your, that's your daughter's naked body.
That's,
thank you.
That's your daughter and her lesbian lovers.
Yep.
Sex bodies.
Sex bodies. Yeah.
Yeah. Moaning sex bodies.
Yep, on a canvas. Goddesses.
So anyways, Mommy O and Paul show up, move in. You know, Maggie's doing a whole dildo cleanup, dildo roundup.
Yep.
Round up all the dildos.
She rounds up the dildos
them.
Way too late, though. Doesn't she round them up after they move in?
Yeah. And her mom's opening cabinets being like, I'd like a glass. These are condoms.
This is the dildo.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so they move in. They have sex again that night. And like, it's also the funniest thing to me is like, I love when you do stuff where you're just like, but why? So they like get, they're on a futon.
Yep.
Like what is clearly a futon that they refuse to roll
to
down.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Like, yeah, they're just going to sleep on a folded up futon. And then have sex. And like, you're, again, yes, you're in a back room with no door, no barriers, no sound, anything, no white noise running,
just you.
Just down the hallway that your brother is sleeping in, you're going to have sex and pull the blanket off?
Yeah. I think that was for
you
us.
You pull it off? No.
I think that was for the audience.
Oh, yeah, sure.
more than
not,
for them.
Again, I'm not going to hold it against
agreed.
Them.
Agreed.
Look, like, they're too...
Not
they're,
smart.
They're good
not
looking.
Smart. Not smart.
I'm not going to like, I'm not going to fault them any of the sex scenes in this and any of it that they allow us to see. Because again, I agree. It's good. It's, they're well done.
Very well done.
What am I going to say? How many times are we going to say this movie, Ellie? The sex scenes are great.
They're great.
I just think it's funny when I'm like, fold the futon down, put a blanket on top of you, shut the fuck up. What is wrong? Your brother is 3 feet away from you.
They can't.
Like, who?
I feel like Maggie is incapable of being quiet, which is wild.
It's, yeah. Good for you, Kim.
I
and
also
good for you,
feel
Maggie.
Like,
I don't know.
Do we feel like this is like
good for both of you?
First girlfriend?
I don't know.
I feel like
no?
It's her first girlfriend. I feel like maybe she's had like a few experiences before this.
I feel like I would forgive Maggie more if it was her first girlfriend. They really write it like it's a first girlfriend.
It seems like first girlfriend vibes.
Yeah.
That's all.
They write her like a, you know,
very baby gay.
Yeah, super baby gay, head over heels, idiot. And I get it.
It works.
But I don't buy anybody like that cavalierly having sex that close to their brother. And I also don't buy the brother doing anything other than like immediately like plugging your ears and being like, nobody wants to listen to their sibling have sex.
As a character, he is a perv to the max.
Oh, he's horrible.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
Just like,
I mean, listen, everyone in this family makes some questionable choices.
Yep.
At some point.
That's
I'm
for
just
sure.
going to say, none of them, this must be, maybe it's genetic.
Yeah, they all are
they
having
make,
a time.
They have bad sex choices, this family. Not great. Not great. All around, we're going to get to them. Not great. But after the move-in, we are off to 10% books, and we are being censored.
Classic.
Customs. Holding up all of our books. Francis, not happy.
Yeah, for like, what? Books like A Guide to Anal Safe Sex, the Lesbian SM Sex Manual. Like, why are we censoring these? Little Red Riding
Hood? I don't
Hood?
Understand.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, inappropriate. We also kind of really meet Judy for the first time. And like, listen, I adore Judy. I love Judy so fucking much. I can't even stand it.
Judy,
like,
as a
what
character,
a doll.
It's so good.
Is and so good.
I will say, like, I can't really speak for trans people, but I do feel like in the realm of lesbian cinema, we do have Judy as a trans woman who's treated in a better way than a lot of, besides the hate crime, but like by the people within the gay community.
Yeah.
Most of the people are pretty, like, kind and welcoming and like treat her very much like a woman.
I think that's why I was so disappointed because
the
there's
crime.
A couple
because,
things like listen
yeah.
we have to be realistic, like Judy is a trans woman played by a male actor, which like I feel like for 1999 this was probably as good as you were gonna get, right?
Yep.
Like I mean, and that's not 100% true and we know that, but
yeah.
Like for the time, this still, I think, was actually better on the scale of representation. This was still better than a lot of stuff at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the things like, yes, it is far from perfect. I think to call out the, like, because we're going to talk about some of the things that were not great. But to call out the things that I think were well done, Judy's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, and I love that they just leaned into that. Like, she is not portrayed, like, honestly, I had to go and look up if this was a trans actor or not.
Yes.
Because I absolutely would have believed that this was just like a trans actress. And I wanted it to be like so badly.
I know,
badly,
me too.
So badly. Because she is like, I thought, like when Judy meets Lila and Lila's like, you're stunning. And I was like, yeah, you fucking are. Like, she looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And they don't make any of her appearance a gag or a shtick. They don't try to, I feel like they don't really play up ever like the masculine parts that much, you know? Like, it's not like they're trying to make it like, oh, look, it's so obviously a dude. Like, no. I just love Judy. Like, she's beautiful and she's great and she's sweet and she's nurturing and she's like,
and she also gets like, she gets, I think, a pretty decent storyline, right?
Yes.
So like, her whole storyline is that she's in love with Frances, who's who's the woman who owns the bookshop, right? And she keeps like hitting on Frances and Frances is like, oh, I don't know. And we go through the movie. Really, I feel like the love story between Frances and Judy is also like a second, as even though it's secondary, it gets a lot of playtime. Like, we get them dancing together, we get them kissing at the Frances's house.
Yeah, we have a whole little subplot with them.
Yeah, we get like Frances being like, I love you. Like, we find out at the end that like they've gotten married. Like, we have a happy ending for a trans character. Which I love.
Which I love. I love it so much, I wish we hadn't had the hate crime. That's my only thing.
I agree. If we take out the hate crime, like,
if we take out the hate crime, it's amazing.
It could have been actually like pretty positive.
Yeah.
And also have Judy be played by a trans actress. Those are like the only two things. But the storyline itself, like the writers writing a trans story, felt like they were doing it with care.
Yeah. And I do, like, I agree. I love that Judy as a character, like, people around her are supportive and accepting of her identity, of her sexuality, of her everything. I love that, like, it's not, it doesn't ever, I get that they're, that's what they're playing into is, like, Judy's fears over why Frances doesn't want to be with her. But I also feel like they never have Frances say that, right?
Yes.
Like, maybe this is just me and I'm, like, headcanoning this in because this is the story I want it to be. But, like, I don't read Frances's time, like, needing time to be with Judy having to do with her being trans. I feel like it has to do with Frances being awkward and not knowing how to date.
Yes.
But I don't feel like they ever really shy away from the fact that, like, obviously Frances is into her, right?
Yes.
Like, she's into her the whole time. She's just gay.
Well, and well, I
and
also,
panicking.
Yes. Well, I also read that too, of like, maybe like Frances is also somewhere on the asexual spectrum.
Oh yeah, I could totally see
because
that.
There was a conversation between Frances and Judy where Frances says to Judy, like, I'm not that adventurous sexually.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't had a lot of threesomes. I barely have had a lot of twosomes.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, that's her hesitation of, like, dating anyone is just being like, I'm not going to be sexual enough for you.
Yeah.
So, like, that was what I was reading from Frances. And I agree. Like,
I just, they're so fascinating.
That there was some nuance to these two characters falling in love.
Yeah.
On both sides, that, like, I agree. Judy seems concerned that Frances is not into her because she's trans, but Frances never says that and also says, I love you. Like,
I know.
They never.
They're so fucking cute
explicitly
at the end.
Have
I die.
That. So, yeah.
So
I do
they're
feel
so
like,
cute.
Yeah, like, any of the reasons they're like pushing and pulling are just about each of them as a person.
Yeah.
And not necessarily because of Judy's transness.
I love their little storyline, honestly. Yeah. I'm like totally into it. Let's take a hot minute. We're going to hear from some sponsors and we will be right back.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
So anyways, we meet Judy. I'm going to try to like get through the plot a little
Sorry.
No, it's fine. We're just like, we're getting so sucked into stuff. And I know we have a lot we want to talk about. So I'm just going to, we've like, we've met most of the people. We've like kind of introduced a lot of the topics. So I'll speed run us through what happens in the movie. So Lila, who is Maggie's mom, moves in. She's obviously just like a little oblivious. She doesn't get it. Maggie doesn't want to come out to her. She meets and gets really close to Judy, which like, and I love their friendship too. Like, I just thought it was so sweet. I love how they like play them together. I love the conversations they have. Mm-hmm. Like, she and Judy are adorable. There's the whole plot about the books getting held up. So like Francis and Maggie go to customs and they're trying to
they meet Bernice,
the lesbian at customs. I love it. Like, so obvious. So yeah, so they're trying to deal with customs. There's like all these subplots of like the mom gets a job and she helps Judy buy a condo, and she's just like puttering around the apartment being like, I don't have sex anymore. Chocolate's great. Anyways, why don't you have a nice boyfriend? And you're like,
yep. Oh God. And then there's the whole like coming out thread that we have here that's just like constantly going,
she's trying so hard and failing endlessly to come out to her mom because she just keeps having sex with Kim everywhere, like at their house and at the club and at the everywhere, and like it's all a little much. Judy gets the really cute transgender song, which like also I was there for that.
I'm not a drag queen.
Yes.
Yeah. Love it.
Like, she was just, I just love her. I just want a movie about Judy. Just give me the Judy movie.
I think Judy is pretty freaking awesome.
Give me the sequel where it's no hate crime, just Judy and Francis like moving in together, mm-hmm. and it's cute. But anyways, instead of that movie, what we get is sex with a minor interspersed with scenes of his mom finding a vibrator. And it's just like, oh, listen, God. When we talk about this family and their genetically poor decisions surrounding sex, A, Paul, you're 17, buddy. A, why is everybody giving you alcohol? Nobody in this movie is legal to drink, and like everyone just keeps serving them alcohol in ways that you're just like, okay, 1999.
Is the drinking age different in Canada?
Oh, it is in Canada. Oh my God, you're right. That's why I totally blanked on this movie being set in Canada.
Yeah.
So that's true. So maybe it is. They're okay. Fine. I'll forgive it. Okay. But it is still
it's
not
18.
Legal.
It's still not legal.
It's legal for Maggie, but makes me feel a little better about the fact that Tony was just like, come on in, have some grappa. And you're like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
yes.
You're like, don't kiss in my establishment, but like, I can serve to minors. And you're like, it just seems weird. Anyways, that's fine. So yeah, so then the whole thing. So like, A, Paul, bad. This woman, too old for you. You are in public, my man. You're literally like on a bench at a waterfront. What are you doing?
Yeah.
This is a bad idea. Also, maybe it is also genetic. He is equally very loud.
Very loud.
And I was less into it.
Yeah,
wonder why.
So uncomfortable.
Don't know why I'm less into that. Less into him grunting. And while we're making bad decisions, mommy-o, if you just find a random box of sex toys under your daughter's bed, maybe, just maybe, here's a thought. Don't go hog wild with all those sex toys.
Just them all.
Just an idea.
So I'm just curious, why do you think she shouldn't go buck wild? Because she doesn't know where they've been? Is that what
like,
you mean?
I don't know, dude. I just feel like if you find... So later in the movie when she like talks about them and like brings them up to Maggie, she is like immediately horrified when she finds out that they're not Maggie's. And I'm like, why would your first... Like, if you find your kids' sex toys...
Why would you use them?
Why would you use them? Like,
I guess. I don't know,
but just me?
No, you're not wrong, but I sort of liked the scene... Because I was like, go Lila and your sexual liberation.
I'm all for Lila using the vibrator. Like, go nuts, dude. It's not so much the vibrator in and of itself. It's just like, you know, not even a little scrub, like a wash it.
Nothing.
You just find a box of sex toys.
It's like dusty sex toys. Also, they've been under the bed. Yeah.
And you're just like, ooh, let's...
Let's assume they just didn't want to show her cleaning them because it would have taken us out of the mood.
God, I hope so. Because honestly, and I just like, it's so wild to me that like then later she's like, wait, but like whose sex toys were they? Like, what did I shove up myself? And you're like, why was it okay when you thought it was like your daughter's? But
yeah.
This is what weirds you out. I'm like, honestly, I'd prefer you use a stranger's toys.
Than your daughter's.
Than Maggie's. Yes. Like, I don't know. But anyways, so this family, questionable decisions around sex and sex toys. And then, yeah, there's like, we kind of talked a little bit through the Judy Francis storyline, but it's like, yeah, like Judy is like, I'm going to lunge for you and I'm in love with you, Francis. And then goes and gets like attacked in the bathroom and I hated it and it was super sad. And then I just like, I wanted the date to go so well. And I was so sad when Francis was like, I'm not ready yet. And you could just tell, like, you could tell Judy's heart, especially
was
like
broken.
I'm sorry, but like, who does that after you just got like attacked just, like, in a bathroom?
Yeah
like, maybe you say like, maybe we could slow down a bit, but like, I don't want you to leave, please stay, let's cuddle, let's hug. Okay,
yeah.
Like, comfort, Francis, comfort. Because instead she just like breaks her little heart all over again. And like, Judy just like got to me in this movie. I couldn't deal with it.
Also do have empathy for Frances, because I just think like she also has a hard time dating. And she's like, I do really like this person. And she's just uncomfortable.
But she's not a trans woman who just got hate crimed in the bathroom. And therefore, I give her less leeway than I give Judy. Judy gets all of my patience and love and care in this movie. That's all.
Valid. You know, Frances redeems herself.
She does.
Like, afterwards, it's like, yeah. I've been looking all over for you, Judy. I love you.
I know. I love them too. Anyways, okay. So then we also get the Maggie coming out scene, which I thought was hysterical, because I'm like, you have both been sleeping on this folded up futon for like how many weeks now? Your mom has never once walked in the morning to the two of you, like, clearly. Where does she think you're sleeping?
Like, they've always been naked together.
Yes.
Also, they never wear clothes.
No.
And she's never seen them.
They're like boning every night.
It was the most horribly edited scene I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they filmed a bunch of different lines and then sort of like jumbled them together. Because I was like, wait, I'm not following the scene, actually.
No, and it was weird because it was like, there's nothing explicitly happening other than the way they react. Like, I feel like if the mom had just walked in and they had been like, good morning, like, no one would have been weird. It's only because she walks in and then, yeah, you get the like, mom, oh my God,
babe, you came in. Yeah, I just feel like it was not on the list of coming out scenes I've seen. I was not a fan of this one.
No, I wasn't. And I also like, I get like why they need Kim to be pissed and whatever. But I also feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, I just love that the mom's like, what, are you in love? And I'm like, they met yesterday. Like,
but also, Maggie, just freaking say you are in love. You easily said it to Kim like 2 seconds after you met.
No, instead they're gonna have a fight and then Kim is like, I'm gonna storm away, and then Maggie is just like, I'm gonna run into the sea. Like, I don't even know where she goes. She just yells and runs away. And I was like, this is like such a 19-year-old like perfect encapsulation of just like, feelings. And you're like, yeah, okay, real, sure.
And it's also like, I don't know, it didn't make any sense to me too, because Maggie had been trying to come out to her mom before this.
I know.
So I was like,
I was waiting for her to be like, yes.
Like, yes. I just feel like the answer should have been like, yes.
Yeah.
I feel like she and already, then you could've, and this then, is like, your you moment. Could've... And then you could have had the explosion where she's like, mom, you keep trying to ruin my life. Like, I felt the ball,
Maggie.
I felt like there was a scene missing. That's why I was so confused by it.
Because the scene was her coming out.
Yeah. The scene was her coming out and she never came out.
Yeah.
It was all subtext.
Honestly, I don't even know that they ever like really explicitly said anything, nor did the mom really seem to have a problem with the fact that she's gay. She's just like, you're young, you think you're in love, but well, you don't even know what love is. Like,
yeah.
And I was like,
okay. To be in love with this man with a mustache. Right. Like,
yeah, his name was Otis.
Oliver or whatever. Yeah, Otis.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird coming out scene. So Maggie and Kim fight. Kim leaves and she's like, I'm going to go get my van and drive to San Francisco where all the gays are. And you're like, valid.
Honestly, okay. Good idea.
Sure.
Honestly, Kim would clean up in San Francisco.
Yeah. And then Judy, like, poor Judy, man. I wanted better for Judy in this movie. Judy's like, I'm gonna get dead named in front of my new friend.
I know.
And you're just like, this is so, I hate it. I hate it for you. Her parents are like the fucking worst. And I hate that for her. And then she's throwing paint all over her new condo. And I'm like, Judy, you just bought this condo, babe. Like, what are you doing? You're gonna have to paint over it.
She needs to release her rage.
I know, but it's so much work.
Honestly,
it's gonna be so much work to paint over. I know. All that. That's I want to see saying. What
it. I think she should just leave it. Like every time someone comes over, it's just like completely like the most splattered walls you've ever seen.
Why not? She and Lila are just having some fun. And honestly, listen. As much as like I'm here for Judy and Frances, I like low key shipped Judy and Lila this whole movie.
I thought they were gonna kiss at the real estate agency.
I really thought they were gonna get together.
I really thought they were.
Yeah. Whatever. I was like 100% gonna be here for it. Like when she had that first thing where she was like, I'm in love with this person. You know,
I thought she was gonna say it's you. I thought they were leading towards Lila. And
I 1,000% thought they were going there.
It's okay,
and I was a little sad they didn't because I could get behind them too. So honestly, throuple it out, ladies. I'm here for it. Take your time.
But Frances has never been in a threesome.
That's the sequel I need. Frances has never been in a threesome. And Judy's like, listen, I have this friend, Lila. Let's drink some wine and eat some chocolates and see where the evening takes us. Give me the sequel. This
Lila
is what I
brings
want.
The box of sex toys. We're all good.
I will accept nothing less than this for the rest of my life. That's it. And then can I just like gloss over the ending? Because it's just like, okay, there's a hate crime and it's bad and then everyone is happy.
Well, yeah. And also like... The bookstore explodes and it's
the
like
bookstore
what is
explodes.
Happening?
Tony's rest. Tony,
Tony's
Tony is
seriously
just there
disfigured.
With, like, Tony's just like there trying to hook up a gas oven, and he's like, "Yeah, you don't need to turn the gas off. It's just like psh, out the wall." And he's like, "Can't get this bad boy screwed on this nozzle." And you're just like, "Listen, even if you don't have skinheads throwing flares into your restaurant, like
don't run your gas. Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Like who?" Does this
yeah
who
that's why Tony's
would
like
do that
literally
like,
has some
I don't understand like just Tony just walk into kitchen sometimes and just be like oh I think I'm gonna cook something let me just like start the gas going and then like I can really go for a cigarette right now like
oh my god
what are you doing Tony like turn the fucking gas main off who hooks up an oven like that nobody does this it's and yet, I love that he's just like there like fiddling with a wrench he's just like won't go on fuck and you're like what is even happening so anyway so yeah the stores all blow up skinheads blow everything up everyone is fine including Tony who absolutely should have been in like multiple pieces after that
oh
he is just sitting in a room full of gas
yep
just sitting in a block of gas getting set on fire but he's fine everyone's fine. Judy and Frances are in love Maggie and Kim are in love Tony's doing shots with Lila because he's like better make a move because I literally just got exploded and then we get the cute like ending montage credits of like Judy and Frances get married and Maggie and Kim go to women's festivals and you're like okay sure a 90s movie ending
perfect yeah. I mean that's one of the things that is on our Less Essentials list is like happy ending.
Happy
for endings. Me, right? Happy
literally endings. Everyone in this movie gets a happy ending.
Yeah. So I know it like feels like a low bar to check, but really it's a difficult bar to check. So
dude,
I'm
especially
give
in
it
the 90s.
I'm going to give it a big check mark for late 90s happy ending.
Yeah. And because I'll be honest, like it's here's the thing. Until the scene in the bathroom where they attack Judy, I was so impressed that I was like, wow, is this a 90s movie that is just going to have like this beautiful, refined trans woman who just like everyone accepts and like doesn't, you know, have to go through like any sort of like just what I knew was coming, I guess, somewhere in the back of my head. And I was like so fucking excited about it. And I think that's why like this movie really did take a turn for me because I was not expecting it and I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
But I also like the second that that woman walks into the bathroom behind Judy and I was like, oh no. Like I honestly like my heart just like dropped because I was like, is Judy gonna die? And I was like so sad because I was like, I do not want to watch this movie where like Judy is just gonna be like, you know, oh, I'm like finally gonna find love and then dies. And I like really, really could have seen that coming. Yep. And so I was like, I will give it that like everyone gets a happy ending. Like, everyone ends happy and in love and paired up and accepted by, you know, I'm like, yes. We didn't super get Lila giving us like a, I don't
Yay,
care
Yay, everything's
who you love.
Good. But I mean,
I don't care how you were born, Judy. You're my friend. Like, I wanted more.
Yes.
I wanted more explicit, you know?
But still, for the 90s, it's like Lila sees her daughter making out with her girlfriend. Like, they just make out in the street. And like Maggie's like, I don't care, I'm making out with Kim wherever I want, you can watch mom. Like, for me, I was like, that's the,
we're having sex right now, I don't care if you're making tea.
That's the like coming out where I was like, okay, clearly pretty obvious they're in love. I love that they travel to women's festivals, like that's their whole thing. I'm like, what a life. I'm like, I would love to have been a lesbian in 1999 and just like
just hop in a
van with my girlfriend to go to women's music festivals. That sounds freaking awesome.
Yeah. They're just like, get in the van. We're going to Dinah Shore. And you're like, okay, sure. Yeah. Why not?
And then she's like, we're just going to paint people's bodies.
Yeah.
I'm down. It sounds great, actually.
Just like couch surfing.
How do I do that now?
Yeah.
I'm like, wait. That sounds great. Yeah. So that's one of the things I really liked. Let's talk a little bit about... Well, let's talk about the mom and the coming out stuff. Because I feel like the entire storyline is like, I live with my mom, but I can't come out to her. And I just really never felt like we had a satisfying coming out.
No, I wanted a satisfying coming out and I wanted a satisfying acceptance. Like, that's the big thing that this movie is
missing for me. Still can't tell if Lila's homophobic or not.
Yes.
Like, I feel like she still seems homophobic.
Well, and honestly, you never even really got whether she is, like, it's so, she plays it so close to her chest, you know, like, even when she finds out about Judy, she doesn't really say anything, she just kind of gets the hand on her chest.
Yeah.
And you're just like...
And you're just like, but, yeah, she never, like, says what she thinks, but I feel like I would rather say
it. I needed it. I needed more.
Yeah. And then, too, like, I get that Maggie's, you know, 19 and this is the first time she's ever coming out to her mom. But yeah, I just feel like that never really lands. And then I think too, like, Kim is understandably upset. Like, Kim is upset because Kim is so out. Like, even from the beginning, she's like, I'm out. Like, and her girlfriend is like in front of her mom basically being like, I don't love you.
Yeah.
Like, that's rough. And let's talk about Kim too. Kim is such a 90s lesbian.
It's, you know what's funny is like, we talk a lot about like 90s movies where we're just like, wow, why did you write these like white bread male romantic leads that like we don't know anything? Like, it's when we do Should Have Been Gays, right? And we're like, all the meat is there between like the girls because you just give us these characters that like we don't know anything about. Like, I feel like Kim is written like a 90s male lead to me. Like, we know nothing about her. We're just like, you have a van.
And you're hot.
And you're
That's
hot.
That's it.
That's it.
And you like went, you were really going for this girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
hard.
She was like, I asked about you. Like their first date.
Oh my God, we glossed over that scene and I fucking love it.
Well,
their coffee date.
Yeah, let's dive into their date because we did, like, so they, it's just such a quintessential lesbian date. So they meet, she draws her, right? Which is just like, oh my God. And then she's like,
you
I
have
can
beautiful
tell
eyes.
Yeah, you have beautiful eyes. I can tell so much from a painting. There's mommy issues. There's
higher education.
Yeah, higher education issues because she dropped out of school.
And you're single.
Yeah, and you're single. I was like, what a line. Like,
what a fucking move. Like, honestly, I respect. Like, I'll give it to you, Kim. That was smooth.
Got moves.
That was good. And I love that she immediately is like, I asked around. Like, yeah.
She's like, that girl that I ran into last night, tell me everything about her. And then she's like, of course, now I'm meeting her and I know everything about you and I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
Like, it's so calculated.
Yeah. It's been, you know, like 8 hours.
She knows everything.
I know your life story. I know where you live.
Literally. She's like, so sleep.
She's like, I camped out in front of the place where you work and sleep. And
I figured you'd come here at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Insane.
borderline stalker, but, you know, like lesbian cute. Sure.
Let's have an afternoon delight in the back of my van. Like,
there's always my place. Listen, she's got fucking moves for days, Kim. Like, yeah, the only thing we know about her is that she is smooth as fuck. Nothing else. That's it.
And to be fair, as a 19-year-old lesbian, like, that's all you need to know. Like, Kim is kryptonite. And one thing I like about Kim, yes, she's white bread, but she's not portrayed as much as that Shane archetype.
Yeah, no, she's not.
Because
she's not, like,
she's not
playery.
Like, yeah, she's not playery, right? Like,
yeah,
there seems to be, like, an insinuation that she is, like, or has been. But, like, when she's with Maggie, like, she's just with Maggie. And it's not, like, oh, like, their fight comes from Kim sleeping around or...
Yeah, well, and you know, it's not like they sleep together in the van and then she's like, okay, bye. Like, they sleep together in the van and she's like, I'm moving into your place.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, fair. Yeah. Fair play to you, Kim. Like,
yeah,
why
she's
not?
Like, let's sleep together and now I love you. And...
I love you and I live with you. We slept together once. I love you and we now have an address. And you're like, okay.
Okay, I guess this works.
Great. She's like, let's mail out Christmas cards. Okay.
Let's
fine.
Meet your parent, meet your mom. Like, I love to. So there's just like sex scene after. That's why I was like, I love the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
Meet cute, sex scene in the van, sex scene.
Painting scene, sex scene. Yeah.
Shower sex scene. We have three sex scenes basically in a row.
Yeah. They go fat, like back to back. Listen, I was watching this on public transit and I was just like, wow. Cool.
Okay. Also very accurate for 19-year-olds, back to back, and new lesbian love.
Oh, for sure.
I love, too, how Maggie's like, how Kim is like, I'm just going to leave. Like, I do not want to be here when your mom gets here. And she's like, I have a better idea. Like, let's just pretend you're my roommate and we can live and be happy together.
Like, yeah.
First date. Like, Kim had the right idea. Like, actually get out of there, Kim.
there. Listen, when we talk about like lesbian first dates, because this is the thing. It's like sometimes, you know, when you say things and you're like, listen, straight people, I don't think you quite understand what we mean when we talk about like lesbian first dates last forever. And we're like, this lesbian first date.
Oh my God.
This lesbian first date included a drawing session, coffee date, hookup in a van, getting your van towed, moving into an apartment together, having another painting session, doing your body goddess painting, having sex in the shower, the parents moving in, and then sex on the futon that night. That was their first date.
That was one date.
And that they involved moving in together for good. Right? Like,
sounds accurate.
That's the other thing that I love about Kim. Like, because listen, I mean, I do. Like, I wish we knew more about Kim, like, as a person, like, her backstory or, like, anything about her other than her first name. But I do love that Kim is just like, I don't usually stick around for the parents thing. And then she immediately sticks around for the parents thing. Like, she doesn't make any attempt to leave. She's not just like, oh, I was just on my way out. She's like, hi. Welcome home.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Welcome to our home. And she's and like not doesn't even blink when Maggie's like, Kim and I will sleep in the back. Like,
also, correct me if I'm wrong, there's one bed in this entire house.
Yes.
So like there's been one bed and you're supposed to expect there's two roommates who are not sleeping in the same bed.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That tracks.
And I also love that Maggie, who goes out having to find a sublet that day, knowing that her family's moving in with her, picks one with one bedroom.
Yep. But it's big.
Yeah. And she was like, it's big. Perfect. And you were like, not with beds.
Yeah. Like literally no beds.
It's small of beds and big of dildo.
Yeah. And condoms.
Dead. It's just a big open floor plan full of dildos with a single bed. This is what you went for. I will continue to lead a secret double life, moonlighting as a lesbian with my mother, and she'll never know. Not even a wall in the place, like nothing. Okay,
not even a freaking like. Have you ever seen like this was more? This was when I was younger, but like you would like. I would stay at. Somebody's apartment. I don't know who they were, but and they lived in a living room. So their bed was in the living room
and they had like a tapestry hanging.
Yeah. Yeah.
As like a door. But like, I feel like they don't even have a tapestry.
No.
They don't even have like, you know, like those shades. Like I've seen, I have friends who live in New York.
Well, they
City.
Have,
you know
they
what
have
I mean?
Something. Like, cause like, cause what the fuck is Paul like peeking around?
Peeking around. It has
yeah,
to
there's
be
something
those,
hanging.
But like, not enough.
There's some sort of drapery.
Not enough. Not enough.
Not enough. No, not enough. Not even like a full enclosure, you know?
No.
Like
not
nothing.
Enough.
There's no privacy in this house. Yeah.
No,
it's wild to me. Just insane. Wild. Yeah.
But yeah, I like their love story. And then too, we have, let's talk about, this must be like their last sex scene. Because they have a bunch of sex scenes in the beginning. And then we sort of like skip through a bunch of stuff. And then they have the date at the cat's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Where they go and have sex in the bathroom stall.
Yeah.
And that scene is, love it. She's like,
it's good.
But I also love how she's like, it's really hard to have sex with my mom there. I'm like, it's actually not because you did it.
Yeah.
You've done it.
I know. I know. And I'm like, literally,
like
I don't think
you
have had sex further than like 2 feet away from another human in this movie yet. Like,
ever.
You're constantly just surrounded by people. You're like, let's have sex on this busy street that you're apparently double parked on. Like,
yep.
Let's have sex with my family just having moved in. Let's have sex
in
the bathroom
stall.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you could go a number of other places. Like, literally, just go back to the van. It's impound. It's just sitting in a lot, big empty lot. Have sex in the van. Whatever.
That's actually brilliant.
Have sex on
and
the bench
too,
that your brothers have, like,
oh,
just,
God.
You know,
everyone's
vacated. Like,
also, there's another couple that comes in after them. And they go in to have sex
amazing.
Again after that. And I'm like, this is
amazing.
Such a just, like, I don't know. I like the, I really love the inclusion of the bar.
Yeah.
Just in general, any movie that has a gay bar in it.
Especially
like,
one with a stage.
Yeah, like with
yes.
a stage, we have Judy singing. Do we want to talk about that song that Judy sings? Did you write down? You didn't write any of the lyrics, right?
I didn't write any of the lyrics down, but I probably could come up with a bunch if I needed to. Because, yeah, I just loved her. I just love Judy.
Yes. Judy was so good, too. Like, at one point, one of the skinheads calls her a dyke, and she says, thank you.
I know. I know.
And I was like, yes. Because she's
I
so happy. She's like, yes,
her.
I am a lesbian. Like, thank you for recognizing me.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
but yeah,
she's
Judy
so cute.
Gets to sing.
That song, and especially because that's the other thing. This is the other thing that I'm saying is like Frances, like when she comes over and sits on Frances's lap and is singing to her, like this is not a situation where Frances is like, oh my God, what do I do? Like Frances, that whole song is like on the
Mesmerized.
Edge of her fucking seat being like, holy fuck. Like Judy is so amazing and hot and I am so into it right now. And I love it. Like, I just love that they let her have those moments like that. Like, she's just so fucking great.
I know.
I just love her.
I love it.
And it's like, yes, it's problematic in like the same kind of ways that like Tu Wong Fu is problematic, you know? Like, that's, man, that's another movie we should do a Patreon episode on, Ellie.
I don't know if I've seen it.
What?
What is it? I don't know.
Oh
if I've seen
my
it.
God. We're for sure going to do a Patreon episode on it now. Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. It's the one where, who's in that? What's the guy in Ghost?
Oh, Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze. Yeah. Patrick Swayze is all. So it's Patrick Swayze and John Leguizamo.
And Wesley Snipes.
And yes, and Wesley Snipes all playing
drag queens.
Well, yes. Yes.
But it says drag queens on the
I don't
Wikipedia,
know. I
but.
Don't know that. I haven't watched it in a long time. I don't remember if they lean into any of them being trans or just being drag queens or not. Like, I don't remember where they land on and in like the identity landscape of that movie. But so it's and so it does to me. It's like it's problematic in that same way of like taking cis male actors and like putting them in these like, you know, trans feminine roles.
Yep.
And that's it reminded me a lot of that in a lot of ways. But I just also there's so many things I love about how they handled like Judy as a character, and I loved just her character. I love that. I
and who's the actor who played Judy, because I also thought just like acting wise it was pretty good.
So he is named Peter Outerbridge. And I don't know that I
no other stuff he's done that much.
I think he was in Orphan Black.
Oh, was he? Mm-hmm. As who?
His IMDb page has 135 credits.
Oh, he was the weird, like, cult farmer dude in Orphan mm-hmm. Black. Weird.
Yep.
I would never have placed that. I like him better as Judy.
I love him as Judy.
I love him as Judy.
Honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will credit the movie a couple of things. Because it's like, yes, I do love that, like, for the time to have some form of parental acceptance, however mild yeah. it may be, and to have the happy endings that, like, you really just did not get a lot at the time,
yep.
right? Like, I'll give it the credit for that. I do think that, like, there's a reason that some of the other movies of a similar era that we are not covering as essentials, like, just don't quite get there as much yes. as this one does, even though this one still had a long ways to go.
Yeah.
I'll give it the credit for that. Like, there are a lot of problematic things still, like, both on the trans front, on the bisexual front,
yep.
the having sex with a child front, you know, like, just...
Yeah, just those things.
Just but, things that, like, meh, aren't yeah. great. But
yeah. but also the final thing I do want to say about this movie too is, like, why after watching the trailer we decided to do it is, like, the unapologetic gayness of it.
Yeah,
like the fact that, like, you have Bernice who comes in and she, like, it's like Francis, like, literally is like, oh, Bernice, I saw you at the Women's Music Festival, and, like, all the lesbians know each other, and, like, we have this, like, lesbian bookstore with the rainbow flag right outside of it.
Yeah.
And at the end, Maggie is literally, like, completely naked, basically saying, like, with a sign that says lesbian on it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a lot of very, like, queer things in this film. And that's, like, some of the things that I actually really love about some of the movies from the 90s that are a bit more problematic. But, like, they also were so encapsulated gay cult, like, very gay, rather than just, like, more mainstream, like, assimilated
yeah.
gay stuff, which is, like, still good to have. But, like, I think, like, now we're leaning towards, like, gay people, they're just like us. And, like, I like the movies where it's like, actually, gay people are not just yeah. like everyone else in a
yeah.
good way. Like, there's very specific things about the community that are
there's
different.
Like, a specific culture, and there are specific, like, stereotypes and, like, references, and, like, yeah, they're very believable gays to me. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone in this movie was, except for Carla. I mean, like, please do better with your bisexual characters.
Bad.
But, like, they were believable gays. And I also, like, I really liked that there were so many, like you were saying about Francis, right? Like, I get why it's not explicit. I could totally see Francis as ace or demi, or, like, somewhere, you know, like, somewhere on that spectrum of asexuality. I just, like, I liked that there were different
kinds of gays.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
And I like that, like, I love that Judy as a trans woman is also written as a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, again, I feel like so much of that era was about having these, like, oh, I'm, like, a very feminine trans woman who, like, I feel like there it was a lot of, like, them being into men. And that's why
yep.
so much of that era is also then wrapped up in the whole narrative of, like, oh, but then their masculinity is threatened because now they're gay. And, like, that's, like, that was, I think, why it was such a big part of that is, like, so many of their stories revolved around that type of
yeah.
identity. You know, and, like, that type of story connected to that identity in ways that just, like, endlessly, you were just like, no, please stop, do something else better,
yep.
do something, anything but that, please. Like, please stop giving me a trans woman who's, like, trying to go on a date with a guy and then getting killed by that guy. And you're like,
yeah, like,
so I, like, I love yeah. this. I love that they just leaned into, like, yeah, actually, some trans women are gay and into lesbians, and those lesbians are into them.
Yep.
Yeah. Give me that fucking story. Like,
yep.
I love that. I mean, like, listen, as much as I want to make fun of Maggie and Kim's relationship more, I'm like, nope, accurate.
Accurate. And I think they have good chemistry. They have really good chemistry.
They really do.
Like,
yeah.
from the second they meet each other, I'm like, yeah, they're pretty hard in love.
Do we know, are either of the actresses queer? Do we know anything about them?
I don't know. Let me look.
I don't know anything about either of them. I haven't seen anything suggesting that either of them is queer. Sometimes I have lower expectations than this, you know?
Yep. But yeah, overall, I liked it. Like we've said through the episode, watch it for yourself if you feel comfortable with the themes that are in it, and let us know what you think. All right, before we go into our Q&A, we need to go over the drinking game rules for Better Than Chocolate. So here they are. We also want to remind you all, please drink responsibly. If it's getting too crazy, just switch to water. It's okay. This is all just for fun. So here we go. Drinking game rule number one. Every time Lila eats the chocolate. Two, every time Maggie and Kim have sex in public. Three, every time there's a performance at the cat's ass. Four, every time Judy and Frances kiss. Five, every time someone mentions Little Red Riding Hood. Six, every time Tony says fuck. Seven, every time someone finds a dildo, which that one might get you really pretty drunk. And eight, every time Maggie tries to come out to her mom. As a reminder, please drink responsibly and make sure you tell us all about your experience during the drinking game for Better Than Chocolate. It is time for our Q&Gay. You ready?
Q and Gay.
Let's do it. All right. Question number one, Lee. Was your first girlfriend A, an artist, B, a writer, C, a singer, or D, an intellectual?
Oh, a good question. My first girlfriend was a carpenter. I don't know that, nice. That fits
that's,
in here.
I mean, that's also a very lesbian profession.
It was a very, like, listen, on our spectrum of gays, like, I was the acting theater gay. She was the, like, backstage building sets and, like,
nice
theater gay. Nice. You know?
Love it.
You I was gotta, just trying to go gotta for have like, both covered.
I don't know what to do for D, but I was just going with like all the creatives in this film. We got a painter. Yeah. We got Maggie wants to be a writer. We got her mom who wanted to be a singer. And then Frances is our intellectual.
I like it. Okay. Question two, Ellie. Who makes worse sex choices out of A, Maggie, B, Lila, or C, Paul?
I'm going to have to say C, Paul. That's a hard C, Paul. Underage.
No, it's not
choices.
A hard C, Paul. Don't say that.
Oh, God. Yeah. But C for Paul. I will approve of all of Maggie's sex choices, even in public, because
great.
Kim is hot and good for you, Maggie.
Good for you.
And listen, Lila, I want her
get
to
get it while you look like that. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I want her to experience some, you know, some sexual awakenings. So I'm here for Lila.
Great.
All right. Question number three, Lee. What kind of gay are you? Wine or beer?
I guess between those two choices, I'd land on wine.
I think I'm also a wine gay. I do not really
like
beer.
I'm not a huge beer guy. I'm a cider gay.
Wine, beer, cider. Should we do sea cider?
Okay, we'll do sea cider. Ooh, sea cider. I'll add it in. Cider. I'll add another choice for us, and I'm just going to do like cocktail.
Okay, so do you want me to ask you again, or you know it's already cider?
No,
so.
It's fine. I'm still sea cider. I'm just adding it in there so that people have options, you know?
Let us know.
Question four, Ellie. How would you let your rage out of A, primal scream, B, flinging paint, C, smashing plates, or D, axe throwing?
I'm going to go with D, axe throwing. There's a really fun axe throwing place in Boston, and I've been many times.
I have never gone, and I super want to go.
I love it. I'm actually pretty good at it.
Nice.
Like, I get it in that middle circle pretty often, so I'm proud of that.
You just wanted to brag about it, didn't
you? I did. Really did.
I support you.
All right. Question number five. What's your favorite cat's ass performance? A, Opening Angel. B, Blacklight Go-Go Boots. Or C, Judy's Song?
Listen, I do love the Blacklight Go-Go Boots. And I love that it's in there and unnecessarily long for no reason.
It's so long.
It's so long. It's Judy's Song. I can't. It's literally everything for Judy. Justice for Judy.
All for Judy.
All for Judy.
Remember, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Up Pod.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. And we just like to shout out some of our favorite things that we've heard from our listeners every week. And this week, we want to start by shouting out one of our listeners, Kim, who sent us an email and they had some requests for Les Essentials. So first, The Handmaiden, which Kim, We've got some good news. It is going to be happening, I think, this season, right? We decided?
Oh, yes, we have. Yes,
it's on our list.
We've had a lot of requests for this one.
Yes, it's been highly requested.
We're bumping it up. We're bumping it up. Don't worry.
So we have bumped it up. We're going to be doing it this season. So don't worry. It's coming. And also, they requested some other films. They said Lesser Known, Kajillionaire, and A Date for Mad Mary. I don't know either of those. So I am excited to check them out. And we'll see. We'll add them to the list. And, we'll see what happens.
We'd also like to shout out Maggie, who reached out to us on Instagram after listening to the Freaky Friday episode and said that they also used to have the earthquake joke between them and their sister. So I know it's hilarious. What a great joke.
It's a great joke. Maggie. And it's always good to hear from you, Maggie. We love the updates. Keep them coming.
Yes, keep them coming. And as always, I want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rosnichino,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lisette Stye,
Heidi Benitez,
and Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Leah Henley. Thank you all so much for all your support. We could not make the show without you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also have videos going up on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to that at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch those.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Krista Murison, and Twitter shenanigans and a bunch of other things by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support this little independent podcast, there are so many ways that you can do that. The first is to leave us a rating and a review on the Apple Podcasts app or on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. It helps new people find the show.
If you want to join our Patreon, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon. We would love to see all of you there. You get access to our Patreon-only Discord chat, Les Essentials watch parties, and this season we have started to release bonus episodes. So there are two new bonus episodes already out, and next week we will have our third bonus episode for Grey Matters out. You can get that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
It is also getting chilly out there for a lot of you. So if you need some new merch, maybe you need a hoodie, maybe you need a crew neck, maybe you need a baseball raglan tee. We have all of our designs. You can get them on all those things. Or if you're still somewhere where it's nice and temperate or warm, there's tees and tank tops available year round. You can find all of our designs on all sorts of things at our TeePublic. And you can find that at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
And you can listen to all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals or in getting The Flame onto the stage and continuing that journey, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.
Box of secrets under my bed. Yeah, I've got lots of secrets up in my head. And if I pick one out, will it be soft inside like a chewy little nugget you've been dying to try? Because you've got to play it cool, got to break the rules, got to find a bit of what it takes to make it through to you. Because I don't like vanilla, and I'm not a fan of cinnamon, but it doesn't kill you when you let a new opinion in. 'Cause I thought I knew what love meant, and that it was sweet like a chocolate. So if you're asking me about forever, let me do you just a little bit better.
I'm on the road tomorrow, but I'm here for today. But I might not go tomorrow if you ask me to stay. Because I'm not the type who likes to stick around. But I got a funny feeling you could keep me in town. If you believe that this is love, feel it's strong enough. Be a little bit of what I need. true. Because I don't like vanilla and I'm not a fan of cinnamon, but it doesn't kill you when you let a new opinion in. Cause I thought I knew what love meant and that it was sweet like a chocolate. So if you're asking me about forever, let me do you just a little bit better. Got to stay together
through sweet and salt and pepper.
If you think chocolate's good, then baby, I've got something better.
I hope you're ready for a new sensation. Because I don't like vanilla.